we'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We are Haley from Taking a Kinder Path, Ashley from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves, and myself, Erin, from Everlearning. We're gathering to have conversations about family life and home education, most specifically unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed education, or as I often refer to it, whole life learning. We'll be sharing experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us. Hi, Ashley. Hi, Haley.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good, thank you. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you too. I guess, Ashley, we're both afternoon, and Haley, you're evening now, right?
I am. Yep. Yeah. It's going to get dark, I think, in a minute. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a busy day. I'm a bit tired, but
same.
End of the day wind down conversation, Haley, right?
Yeah, that's right. Definitely.
Okay, well, here we are, and we've done these conversations. We've had recorded conversations for the Stories of Unschooling Families community, but this is the first time that we are recording for the World Wide Web. So it's kind of nice to be giving this a try too. And I guess we're talking about what our unschooling days look like. And I mean, I know for me, because I've been home educating for lots of years, that has ebbed and flowed and changed. And I'm sure it has for both of you as well. But I'm kind of glad to be chatting about this, because I think it is something that families are really quite curious about. I think when people first begin home educating, they're pretty curious about it. But I actually think, I don't know, I'm always interested in hearing kind of what life looks like for other people and what their days look like. So, yeah. And I think with unschooling, there's even a level of, I don't know, it's even maybe that much more, I think it's a little more difficult to explain. So I'm sure it's a little more, people are curious too, like what can that look like outside of maybe the clearer structure that they know from school or might imagine from a more structured homeschooling. But yeah, I find people are curious. And it's interesting because the last, I guess it's been about 3 years, I have written simplehomeschool.net offers an opportunity every winter to submit, people can submit their a day in the life. And I think it's such a great opportunity because people can, they get a window into what other families are doing. And I think it's inspiring. And I think it's also reassuring that, you know, there's people have all kinds of things, natural things that pop up during the day. And I think that's reassuring as well. And it's funny because this year I found it a little trickier. And I'm not exactly sure why this year particularly, but I found it a little trickier to go through my day. And I think, again, it's back to that idea that it's a little more nuanced with unschooling. So I found that some of the things I was writing, I thought, well, I don't know if anybody would really understand from a, you know, if you were just reading about homeschooling for the first time or maybe unschooling for the first time, I'm not even really sure. There might have been some things I put in and people might wonder, like, why would that even be of importance or of significance? So, yeah. And I mean, just thinking, I guess, for example, my daughter was really delving into a lot of art projects at the kind of period of time that I was writing this entry. And my oldest son had come home for a while. And so he was working part of his day virtually right beside the room that she had all her art supplies in. And so I think I wrote a little bit just about that process of, like, I don't know, him coming back home, her having to readjust where her things were kept, him having to go get them sometimes in the middle of his work day, and just kind of this interplay about how that all played out. And at one point I thought, you know, this is so different than somebody saying, oh, I read to the littles while my older kids get their history done. Like, it might have just seemed insignificant, but that I think is so much, I think is so reflective of what unschooling is. So much of it is about relationship, and so much of it is about respecting one another and kind of how that rhythm flows in your house, that, yeah, I realized that was what was standing out for me was less about the content of my daughter's art and more about how things interplayed within the home. So I just think it makes it all the more trickier to describe. So who knows, but hopefully we'll chat about some things today and it'll be interesting to hear your perspectives as well.
Yeah, I think there's somewhere, I think Pam Larickia says about what do unschooling days look like? And she says something about them looking like your favorite Saturdays, I think. And then I think it's Sue Patterson who says something about a day in the summer filled with potential and possibilities or something like that, she says. And it's like you, we've been doing this for a long time, and it's hard to think about what do our unschooling days look like, because this is just our life and we've been doing it for so long that it's just what we do every day. And also, like you, our two eldest aren't here all the time, so when they are here, things are quite different. And when I had four children at home, thinking about four people being home educated, yeah, it was very different then to how it is now. And a lot of it is about the relationships and spending time together and those things that other people might not necessarily see as immediately educational. But I think at the moment I have two children at home who are still officially home educated, but it's really our days revolve around my youngest daughter's activities, things like swimming, football training, and park meets and forest school. Those give us a kind of framework to our weeks, I think, around here. That's, yeah, and then we try and fit all the other stuff in around those bits and pieces.
Right. Yeah, well, and it's interesting because that you say that, Haley, because I think there was something that came up in the community. Ashley, you may have mentioned, and I might be putting words in your mouth, but I think we were talking about how maybe where we live and even the setup of our house and kind of our daily schedule, how that informs so much about how our days flow and the rhythm of our days.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, it was, I forget what made me get to those thoughts, but I was actually thinking about it a little bit earlier today and thinking about our conversation. And yeah, I think, I mean, so where we live, and my guys are younger still, right? So actually listening to you just talk, Haley, about what you described with your two youngest, I'm like, that's what I'm living right now with my two, but at the beginning of the journey. So it was interesting to listen to that. But where we live, I mean, so we live in a neighborhood in a small town, and we have like a decent sized backyard. But I don't know, it's very different from where I grew up. I grew up on 9-10 acres, so not a lot, but a lot more than what my guys have. So I often find that I'm planning at least a couple times a week where we get in the vehicle and we go somewhere. To make sure that when we do go outside, we feel like we're getting enough of the outside time that we each want or need. Whereas I think often, you know, if we lived out more in the country where we had more property to just roam and get kind of further away, because that's what we do when we go outside. Lots of times we'll be outside on a trail or a beach, and sometimes we're with one another, but often we're together, but spread out. You know, someone goes and explores over there and someone goes that way. Someone speeds up, someone falls behind. So, I mean, that's another whole thing aside, but I find when we get in the vehicle, we go somewhere like that. We go to a bigger place to explore. We spend more time outside. Whereas if we go to the backyard, we end up back inside sooner and we don't get that outside time. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, a short time outside, but I find, and it was a process to learn that, how do we build in those, what we call like little adventure days, but basically it's just get in the car and go somewhere, maybe for 2-3 hours, not necessarily all day. And how do we fit that into like our weekly rhythm, so that we get enough of that time? Whereas maybe if we lived somewhere where we had more property, we would leave less, I don't know. So that's just one example. We also do have a very big park. We're very fortunate to have that right across the road. But we're over there a lot and then we get tired of it. So I think where you live, it can have an influence. And then, you know, access to, can you walk to the library? Or if you live out in the country, there's no way you have to get in the car to go to those places. So I think it can have, it can change from family to family. And I think that's actually one thing we'll probably talk about today too, how it is wonderful. I find listening to other unschoolers talk about their rhythms, their days, their weeks, but you can't just copy another family's rhythm. So it always looks different. And I think, yeah, what you're saying, Erin, like where you live, it can, I think that's what you're getting at anyway. It can make a difference to what your rhythm looks like.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was referring to. And I can't remember either what the conversation that started it, but I just remember thinking that just really made sense to me. And I'm thinking now, you know, back to the conversation about the art supplies, that really relates because we live in a relatively, we have a good sized backyard as well, but our actual house is fairly small for the number of people often here. So I think that has definitely fed into it, what feeds into who you are and how you live, as far as, you know, there are pros and cons to everything. I think one of the pros is that we've really learned to live cooperatively. So, you know, the idea that there's a far room that you have to go through where my son is staying to get to my daughter's art supplies, like neither of them made a big deal about that. It was just like, this will be something that we'll need to, you know, that we'll need to figure out. And yeah, and just kind of came up with some systems. But those systems do feed into the rhythm of the day, you know, just as far as it just, you know, maybe her checking with him, maybe her making sure that she's got her supplies for the day before he is suddenly with online clients, you know, and it may be not as easy for her to get through the space. And I also think it's just fed into, I mean, he's learned a little bit more about art, that's for sure, because, you know, he would come upstairs with whatever, thinking, oh, I've got what's needed. And she'd be like, no, not the watercolor markers. So, you know, there was a lot of back and forth. And then that kind of fed into a bit more relationship too, because they kind of had this fun connection around kind of her work, her projects, and his work. And they needed to really collaborate to make both of those things work for themselves. You know, I grew up in quite a big farmhouse and a smaller number of people in it. So I wouldn't, that's not something that I would have had to navigate, which is fine too. It just, it shifts your day. And all those pieces, I think, in the rhythm of it. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I was thinking about what do our unschooling days look like, the first thing that came to mind was that thing about it all revolving around activities. But the second thing was about the fact that it's if we have a day where we're not going anywhere, or there are large parts of the day that are free to us, it often, our mornings will often start with whoever's around having breakfast together, and then thinking, right, what do you fancy? What do you, you know, what have you got planned? What, you know, there's a conversation about, you know, does anybody want to walk the dog, and does anybody else want to come with them, and does somebody want to watch something or listen to something? Or my daughter's a drummer, so if she's going to practice drumming, she'll be, you know, talking to somebody else about whether they're going to be, you know, online doing something, and so they'll need quiet. Or and it's very much that ongoing conversation of shall we do this together? Or there's a lot of things that happen in pairs or threes or all of us. And then there's those kind of project time where people are working on their own individual things, and you know, and then there's negotiation about if somebody wants to use the dining room and they're going to use all of the table, then there'll be, you know, conversations about those kinds of things as well. So it's that ongoing conversation and discussion about what everybody else is up to. And there's a lot of consideration about, you know, sort of paying attention to everybody else's needs and what they're going to do as well, which is a really nice thing to see. And so that, so the days can be so different. Yeah, who knows who's going to wake up inspired to do something one day.
Oh, I love that, Haley. And it reminds me of, you know, I don't want to be quoting people, but I feel like when I first started reading some of Sue Elvis's stuff around, I think she had a couple of posts, and it was the idea of getting up in the morning, and it's kind of like, well, what shall we do today? And that doesn't mean that everyone has to do the same thing all day, but you're kind of starting with that place of like, you know, what do we want to do together? What do we want to do individually? And that really helped frame for me, I think, because there's this idea that it's just a free-for-all and it's very, very, very individualized, right? So it's just this idea of letting everybody do what they want. And that's kind of there, but you come to that really as a result. I don't think you begin there. And so it's just interesting to me to hear that similar for you, Haley, because that was always how it was for us too. It's kind of like, you know, what do we want to do today? And sometimes it's like, what do we have to do today? Right. There might be things in the house that have to get done, or library books that need to get back, or doctor's appointments. And then you kind of have those touch points, those anchoring points that other things can flow around. But yeah, I like that way of looking at it, that it's not that you can't do your own thing, but there's a connectedness in figuring out even the space and the time and maybe the materials, right? If people are sharing an iPad or whatever, you're figuring that out for the day together, which I really like. And I think a lot of people maybe don't understand that piece of it, that relationship piece of it.
Yeah, I think it's like what you were saying, Erin, it's letting everyone do what they're interested in that day or what they need to do to have their needs met, but learning how to do that together. And it's funny because as you're both talking, I'm thinking about, this is why I feel so tired by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because mine are 8 and 6 years old. And I'm still very much involved in all of that with them and helping, you know, I'm learning because it's only been a couple years that we've really been doing it this way. But I mean, I guess we did this before school age too, although the needs were very different when they were that little. But it's a lot of conversation. It's a lot of me learning about, okay, what are each of their needs? What are my needs? Which, you know, that can be hard to kind of figure out too. And I feel like I'm often saying to them, there's three of us here. So when dad's at work, there's three of us here. We all have our own needs. We all have our own wants and our own interests. It's really important that I know what your needs are and your interests are, and I'll share mine with you. And then we need to come together and do that collaboration and figure out how can we make this day look at least okay for each of us. And I find for myself anyway, I love it, but it definitely does take some mental energy. It takes, I think that is, I often like, why am I so tired? I had a good sleep last night. And then I think, because all day I've been trying to, you know, help us. And they're also like, I'm trying to guide them. I don't want to use the word teach them, but like try to guide them on how to do this so that hopefully the older they get too, they kind of figure it out as they go. And I think that's a beautiful thing for them if they can collaborate with others in the home and figure out how to do that. And then when they're out of the home, whether they're with their friends or, you know, in a future workplace or something, that they already have those skills. But I think it is a hard thing to explain. And Haley, you mentioned that, you know, it's kind of like living a Saturday every day. But when you say that, people, it does, I think it does give an idea. But it's not, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not always like the best Saturday. Not every day turns out as good as like what your like ideal Saturday looks like. But it's one of those things that until you can, maybe people get more of a taste of it too during like summer vacation, or whenever there's like a school break, and you have, if the kids are at home and they're not off doing summer camps or something like that, that would be a good idea too, of what it's like day after day after day and week after week.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, there's the potential for that favorite Saturday or that, yeah, your best day ever. But obviously, yeah, we're all human and we're not always going to have our best day ever every day, are they? And like you were saying, Erin, about the things that need to be done, there's still housework that needs to be done and there's still meals that need to be cooked and I don't know, things that need to be bought and places that people need to go, appointments, all those kinds of things still need to get done. So, but I guess the idea is that there is that potential, isn't there? That's and that's one of the beautiful things about unschooling, isn't it? That if you're not tied to a curriculum or a fixed routine, you have the ability to be flexible and adapt to how people's needs are changing and the different personalities in your home and all those things. Yeah.
So that's so true. Should we do a little bit of a go through about, I mean, we all have slightly different ages. Well, Haley, you've got a little bit on both ends because you've got older, you have a younger daughter.
Yeah.
And then Ashley, you've got younger and I've got older. Would that be, I don't know, maybe useful, kind of go through a little bit around what a day in the life would look like?
I'll go first. It was actually really interesting to spend the time to write it down because we don't. I mean, I might jot down a few to-dos I have to do or something before the day, but I don't usually write down what our days look like. So that was interesting to see. But one thing, and I think that might be common with some unschoolers anyway, is we have slow mornings around here. So a big thing that we have really enjoyed about unschooling is that it gives us the opportunity to slow down, which I just think there's so many benefits to. And it doesn't mean we don't have days that are busy, but we really try hard for quite a while now. I don't know how long we've been doing it. I mean, at least a year, if not longer, to have slow starts to our morning. I used to be like, oh yeah, we'll go meet you at the park at 9 o'clock. I don't make that mistake anymore. There's no, we don't need to rush around unless it's a dentist appointment, but even those, usually I can just schedule later in the day. So we have slow mornings. Usually right now with both of them, we'll start, especially if me and one other one are still sleeping, they'll start with a little bit of screen time. That's when they like to ease into the day with maybe some shows or whatever they're into for that. And then I can wake up and have my coffee and just not feel rushed. So we start with a slow morning. And then usually we come together at breakfast, not always, but I find our meal points is when we come together. And breakfast just happens when, like, not at a certain time, but when either I have the energy to get up from my seat and start making breakfast and then call them over, or if they let me know that they can't wait anymore and they're hungry. So we come together for breakfast. And then most days I would say we get like day ready. I mean, there are days where we stay in our pajamas, but most of the time, especially for myself, I like to at least, you know, go up, wash my face, brush my teeth, get them to brush their teeth with me or before, after, whenever. I like to get dressed for the day, even if we're not going out. Sometimes they do. Just that maybe brush the hair. Kind of get day ready. And then at that point, we may head out if we have plans. Like if we have an appointment or like what you were saying, Erin, like something we have to get done, it's usually around that point. But again, pretty slow process it. Because I found like a really stressful time for our days in the past was getting out the door, which I think a lot of parents can relate to, right? Like if mama was going to lose it, it was when we were trying to get out the door. And I just thought, well, that's not necessary anymore for us most of the time. So I just slow way down. But yeah, so we may head out, maybe go meet up with other home educating friends. We might go for a hike or go to the local beach or the library. Just if we feel like, you know, this morning we're feeling like we need to get out of the house for a bit, which I definitely feel. often if we're getting in the vehicle to go somewhere, we are big podcast listener fans. So we have our favorite podcast, and we travel really well if there's a podcast for us to listen to. And I mean, that's just opened the doors to a whole bunch of different really cool things that they've been interested in. So that's a big part of our days is podcasts. If staying home, so if we don't leave that day, we, at that point, it's just kind of, it's open. So it's that, what do you feel like doing today? And they might just pick up with something that they were doing the day before or a couple days before. Or they might, I find my guys ask me a lot of questions. So it's maybe me sitting down with them and giving them that time to Google this and Google that and look up different things that they have questions about. Or they might just spend time on things that they're interested in, if they don't feel like, because mine are still so young, they're pretty content just playing either together or separately. So this could be like independent time, but often it's together still. And then we do that until again, we come together for lunch whenever they're hungry. My guys usually are, we're slow morning people, but we're early risers. So we tend to eat lunch a bit earlier and we come together for that. And then after that, this doesn't happen every day. But we try, or I try to encourage us to take time to ourselves. So whatever, some people call it quiet time or independent time, and they can do what they want still, but just, I feel like because we home educate, we are together a lot. So it's more so trying to build in those times and ways to pull us apart, but just to give everybody that space. I need it. I know they need it. That can be hard because I'm, you know, if they're playing really well together and they want to keep playing after lunch, then so be it. And I guess that's the flexibility of our days. You know, it's not a routine or a schedule where, well, now we've had lunch, so it's quiet time. It's just something that we try to work around and make sure that we have that time. And then after that, if we fit that in, it's like a repeat from the morning. It's just more free time. Or maybe we'll dive into an activity. Lots of times, like Erin, you hear, or like I write a lot about, or I've shared a bit about us strewing stuff. So often I'll have stuff that I've left out for the day. Lots of times it's ignored. Other times it's picked up and someone could spend, you know, half an hour with it or whatever, and they could get into that in the afternoon. Sometimes now I do find a little shift that we're having is if we don't go out in the morning, we might go out in the afternoon. But for the past week or two, my one guy has been waking up very early. So a really nice thing and the flexibility with our days in our life right now is that because he's been waking up so early, if we are going to go do anything, I make sure it's in the morning. And then, I mean, we really slow down by the end of the day because he's so tired. So that's kind of how our rhythms switch too. And then we come together when dad gets home for dinner. So mealtimes are kind of like a connection point for sure. And I would say like kind of like one of those predictable things that are built into our days. Sometimes we don't do dinner together, and we've started to do like one-on-one dates with our kids. Sometimes at lunch if my husband's home, or often early evening if we're not too tired, we're all take one boy out and we'll go for a little dinner and just some time together, whether it's an errand or a visit to the pet store, library, walk, whatever it may be. That's something that's not a daily thing, but I would say pretty much a weekly thing. Part of our weekly rhythm is that one-on-one time that we do. And then the evening is hanging out together, usually at home, and then we do bedtime together, or like one parent with one child. And then the only other thing I think I really wanted to point out about our daily rhythm is another like touch point or like coming together time is we do a lot of reading together. So I do a lot of read alouds. Some days I don't read to them during the day, but most days I find, especially if they're more tired, or, you know, maybe we haven't left the house and we were just spending the day at home, I find we need to come together a little bit more often to just like calm down and listen. We always have a book on the go, or maybe more than one book. But if we don't do that, it's always reading together at bedtime. So that's another kind of, I guess, consistent, predictable piece of our days. So every day looks different, but that's kind of like a general, kind of what it looks like.
I love that. I feel like there are a couple of things I'm like, oh, I'd like to take notes about that, because it would bring up thoughts for later. But
yeah, the, I mean, it's just, it's all so interesting, Ashley. The individual time, I think, is one of the things that really popped up for me, because I hadn't thought about that before, but you're right. That is such an important, for us, it has been anyway, part of the kind of rhythm of the day as well, is that finding those times to just connect with one child at a time. And maybe it's even sometimes the kids just connecting, or I don't know, just finding time to kind of foster those individual relationships. Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, I find it's interesting because it's a little bit different, because we always get these messages, right? Like, meal times should be as a family and together, which right now, for the most part, our meal times are together, or weekends should be spent together. I think we get like those messages. And I think, well, if your family is busy Monday through Friday, going to school, going to work, of course you're going to build in those times together. But I almost am like, well, this is kind of like the opposite for us, because we home educate, we are together so often. So I'm actually looking for ways for us to do those one-on-one times, or those times on our own. And like you said, Erin, too, with, it's not just me and a kid or my husband and a kid, it's their time together and where they're having that stuff too. And it's just something I've been putting a little bit more thought into this past year.
Yeah. I remember that when we started home educating, I remember that we used to have meals together very regularly. And then as soon as we started home educating, it actually became, that changed, because we spent so much time. We used to do, when there was the three of them and then the four of them, we used to do a lot of table time in our first few years. That's what we called it. That would be when we'd be at the table doing, everybody doing their little projects, or maybe we'd be working on something together, but we'd kind of meet in the dining room. It wasn't always planned in advance. Sometimes somebody would just holler up the stairs, "I'm doing table time, do you want to come?" And then people would. And I think it was around that time that we suddenly thought, we're sitting at this dining room table together a lot of the day anyway, so those meal times together stopped being so important. I think they've become more important again more recently because of the fact that, yeah, my two eldest aren't always here, so when they are here, it's really nice to be all together. But this whole thing about writing down a day in the life, I have wanted to do that for the simple homeschool thing for a few years, and every time I sit down to do it, I don't get very far because I kind of feel like, oh, every day is so different. Although, I mean, there is a weekly rhythm because we do have swimming at the same time and we have football training, and, you know, so we do get into that kind of rhythm, definitely. And there are times when I've sat down where we've had some kind of afternoon where I've just thought, oh, I really want to record that because so many amazing things happen, or it was such a great conversation that sparked off so many different learning points. And I have, you know, then gone off and recorded those in detail. But yeah, I've never got very far with my simple homeschool submission because, yeah, is the, I mean, now because I've got three adults, really, I mean, my son is 17. So obviously a lot of things, you know, the three eldest do a lot of things on, you know, on their own or with each other or whatever. It's kind of different. But the one thing that we will often do, if we haven't had the same as you, Ashley, we often have, if we get the chance, we'll have slow mornings. And that's when we'll have those conversations about things like, you know, we've got two laptops between us and one telly in our house and one Xbox. And so if people want to watch something or they want to play games or whatever, that there'll be that kind of negotiation of, oh, I've arranged to play with friends at this time, can I have the Xbox then? And those kinds of things. But something that's happened as they've got older is texting, messaging. That will often happen. Somebody will just message, we have a family, you know, family group, and somebody will message and say, I quite fancy watching this movie tonight, who's in? Or you know, I'm thinking about going swimming in 3 days' time, does anybody want to come? That's kind of been one of our means of communication, which is, you know, which is kind of cool, when a development that's happened. Yeah, how things evolve is quite funny.
I like that, Haley. I found that too as my kids got older, that we also have the family. Well, we have the family text, and then we have variations of it. There are just maybe two people in one, like depending on the, right? But yeah, it's funny. And I remember the first time that I texted one of my older guys. Again, we have a pretty small house, and they were in the basement, and I texted them. And this would have been maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, just to show you how our family culture has changed. And they texted back and they said, "Are you texting me from upstairs, Mom? Like, you can't come to the to the door." And now, I mean, oh my gosh, culture I think has changed, right? Even in, it was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and now that's, we're constantly texting. But part of it isn't just texting; it's also, you know, people find jokes or they'll find pieces of information. And so it's kind of like stewing for one another too, where you'll see something and you'll think, oh, so-and-so would find this so funny. And it's, so it's a little bit more than just, are you ready to come up for supper? It's like, it's a whole kind of line of communication. But no, I find the same thing, that there's a lot of, whether it's space, whether it's, you know, use of something, or yeah, just invitation to do something. We do a lot of that, communicating as well. Yeah. Haley, I don't know. Do you want to talk about the kind of flow of your day, or should I? I feel like mine's a bit boring because all my kids are older now.
I feel like it just, yeah, it changes so much, which I guess we do have meal times are one of those anchors, definitely. The whole, there'll often be, we often have, well, reading is definitely a part of our day. So we will have times where we read aloud, or where other people are reading aloud with my youngest daughter, or gaming is another thing that is happens almost every day in our house. So, and they do game together and in pairs, and even remotely when somebody is somewhere else, they'll still manage to play games together. And so that's really nice. And and watching, if there's a certain YouTube series that people are watching together, or there's a certain TV program, that will be one of the things that gets kind of slotted in around all the other clubs and courses or whatever that people happen to be doing at the time. I can't think of a typical day in the life.
It's hard. And I think when you're talking about the slotting thing, like, again, it's interesting if you break it down, just how much time management probably is involved that we're not even thinking about. I don't know. I think with, especially, I guess, as my kids have gotten older and, you know, they're maybe negotiating different spaces or different things. I think there's been a lot of that, but even for myself, because my schedule's changed a lot over the years, now with, I only have my daughter who's technically school age, so she's not quite 17. And I think, I don't know, it's interesting how you look ahead. I think I had expected things to look a certain way if I only had one child at 16. I don't think I anticipated how much communication I would still be having with the older kids, but there is still a lot. And a lot of it's just really fun, but a lot of it is still, you know, as far as negotiating, I'm thinking even of a car. So my youngest son going to work, that kind of thing. It's kind of, there's a lot of rhythm around what are your work days this week? What are my work days this week? You know, just kind of navigating all that as well. I think at this point I'm able to, I do work outside the home as well. So I block out the mornings to try to get as much of that done as possible. I'm saying outside the home, a lot of it is actually virtual. It's kind of back and forth. And then often I will have something else work related that I might need to do. And I try to sort of do that early evening because I really like to have the afternoons right now for my daughter and I. I don't know. I feel maybe with her having been the youngest, and before COVID, she was really busy. Like she was involved in choir and ballet and art classes, and it was all really good. But I realized now, I realized not too far into the pandemic, how busy actually we were and how much on the go we were. And so it's actually really nice to have a chunk of time that we're together and we're kind of exploring stuff and doing things together. So sometimes sometimes she's just doing her own thing, but it's having that chunk of time that I'm available. I think especially as she's kind of deciding, you know, keeping her options open. So working on both a portfolio, as well as putting some things together as far as a transcript. So again, it's a nice age for me to kind of block that time off, and we can plug away at some different things, whether that's formal things or whether those are her own projects. And then we're kind of a late night family. So if I zip out and do something work related, if I'm back by, you know, like 8:30, for us, that still gives us hours. So that's like, if we want to watch a movie or whatever, you know, it still gives us lots of time. And for us, again, it's more people in and out. Two or three people might watch a show together. Someone usually comes by with some kind of joke or something, and somebody might make a snack, and it's very, it's just kind of fluid. But we all are, you know, none of us are early to bed people. Like even my one son, who often has to be at work for 6 a.m., he still doesn't go to bed early. It's just, so for us, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's been a little different maybe in the last year, but I've been a little bit more intentional about blocking my work. Whereas I think in other years, it flowed in and out a little bit more. But yeah, again, it's another example, I think, of how things changed over the years with so many factors, right? But seems to be what's working right now. I just wanted the whole idea of early mornings. I just wanted to say, because you both mentioned slow mornings, and I love that. And I think we went through a period of time where it worked better for us not to have slow mornings. Like it worked better for us to be out, and it just, I just think there were a couple of personalities in our house that it was just good to get up and get going. And it just worked better if they were out socializing and doing stuff. But for the most part, I also prefer a slow start. And I think the concern that some people have is, but that's not real life. You can't always have a slow start. How will they learn to get up and kind of get going and get into the day? And yeah, I just haven't found that to be a big issue at all. And I hear that repeatedly from people, whether it's unschoolers or homeschoolers that do have a slower start, it doesn't play out to be a problem later on. I don't know, Haley, have you had that experience with your older kids? Like,
no, in fact, my eldest girls now are very into getting up early in the morning. I get up early and I do some work before my other two come down. And my son is 17, and he will often lay in. but the girls definitely now will, yeah, really like to get up. I mean, we're all very interested in kind of organization, productivity, motivation. I think we're all often exploring those kinds of things and thinking, right, these are the kinds of things we would like to do. How are we going to organize our lives so that we can do these things? What systems can we put in place, and how can we help each other to remember? And yeah, we're big into lists around here. We do kind of think on a weekly basis. It's fairly casual, but we do often think right, what are the types of things that we would like to achieve this week? Kind of how many times do we want to do certain things? Like if somebody's working on a particular project, maybe, I don't know, my daughter might be, say, you know, doing sewing something for somebody's birthday, or my son does a lot of modeling, so he's got a particular model that he wants to get finished. They will, we have these kind of weekly checklists that we'll make, which is often very, very simple. So it will be things like the project that they want to do, and then a few squares about how many times they would like to do that thing during the week. And that's worked really nicely. We don't do it every week, but we often do it. And it's just a way of, helping ourselves to remember. Because often you have grand plans, and then on a day-to-day basis, you don't always remember all your grand plans, do you? So it's kind of quite nice to have those ways to jog your memory. And yeah, my son is doing some studying for exams at the moment, and he's asked me if I will remind him that he wanted to do, you know, said subject, topic, project three times this week. And, you know, he says to me, if you notice I haven't done it, or you know, just remind me, because I forget. And he's taken to the whole thing of I will often do like three most important tasks of the day, you know, like the productivity gurus tell you to do. And he's kind of taken to that as well at the moment. And he'll say, right, out of my three, I've only done two. Right, I'm going to do the third one now. And those things are quite nice. So we're playing with that a lot at the moment, I think, trying to find the best way to organize our time but still have a lot of flexibility to, you know, to do what we want to do.
I think that's a really nice thing about unschooling, is that flexibility to find what works for each of us. Because Erin, when you were talking about that, like, it's an interesting idea that we have this strong feeling or idea that as children, we have to learn these things. Like, we have to learn that you have to get up early, because that's what it's like, you know, for most careers. And we have to spend our whole childhood practicing that. Or when the day comes, you won't be prepared. And when we really stop and think about that, I mean, it's kind of silly to think that, you know, maybe at whatever age, 16, 17, or in our 20s, that we wouldn't be capable of figuring that out. And I think it's also different when our kids are, you know, if they have to get up to get ready for school or something, that's external motivation, not usually internal motivation. But if you have a job, there's probably a little bit more internal motivation, even if it's just, well, I got to go and get that paycheck. So I think it's two pretty different things too. And I think that's a really nice thing about unschooling. Like, Haley, when you're talking about your son, I think, like, wow, what an opportunity, because all kids have those chances to figure these things out, try things on. But I think a lot of times there's a lot of messages like, try it this way, do it this way, this is the right way. And then there's like pressure, and is this the right thing to try, or is this a bad idea to try this? Whereas when you allow people the freedom, really, to just not figure it out completely on their own, because Haley, you're talking about how you are kind of in like a supportive role for him, and he knows that he can come to you without any shame and just say, can you help me with this? I'm trying to figure this out in this way. Here's what I'm thinking. If you notice this, can you help me? I mean, that's so wonderful. And such a, and maybe that won't be what is always needed. I mean, it probably won't be, but trying those different strategies, because we are all so different, and feeling comfortable to just live life that way. And, you know, it's okay. Like, it takes time to figure these things out. How do we want to organize our days? How do we want to meet the goals that we have? And we don't all have to do that the same way. And I think unschooling really allows for that more. And that's one of the really nice things that, again, it's kind of hard to explain that that's what we're doing when we're unschooling. That's so much of, you know, they think, well, if they don't go to school, how are they going to learn these things? And it's just what we're so used to, is you learn those things through school, or often you don't. So I think unschooling can provide a little bit more of a, I mean, lots of times it's one-on-one support, which is hard to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm still learning these things myself. And that's, you know, that's how a lot of these things come about, because I'll be talking about systems that I'm trying out, or I'll ask them to remind me to do things. I mean, I'm doing the whole 1,000 hours outside this year, and it's not for my children. It's for me, because I'm the one who needs to be motivated to go outside. They're fine. They get enough outside hours. But I don't always think to go for a walk, whereas because I've got that, and they will ask me, oh, how many hours have you got outside this week, or, you know, do you fancy a walk, because that will help your 1,000 hours. And so it's very much a two-way process, you know. They're obviously helping me as well as I'm helping them, and we're learning about these things together. It's you know, we're because we are all quite interested in this whole thing about productivity and motivation and how we can do those things. We do tend to read books like, you know, the whole Getting Things Done by David Allen and I don't know, the 12-week year and all these different books that different ones of us have read, and then telling the other ones about it. And, oh, I'm trying bullet journaling, or I'm going to buy this planner. And there's a lot of that sharing that happens. Which is really nice.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so fun, Haley. I feel like my husband and my daughter would fit in very well there. I think they wish that, they work really well with systems, and I think I do. I think I have my own systems, maybe, but I don't tend to. I don't know. I don't tend to read books that are specific to them. But that's the type of thing that my husband and my daughter really find helpful. And I think it just speaks to how different things work for different people. I might hit you up for some of those titles, Haley, because I think, my daughter loves those kind of ideas around organizing time. And I'm not sure that I bring a lot of that in. Other than kind of how we figure it out day to day. But Ashley, the other thing that I was thinking about when you were talking about this idea that, we kind of learn, we have to start practicing that. And I don't know what, right? You have to get up early so that you'll know how to get up early. But it's interesting also to play around a little bit with those assumptions. Not all jobs do start at 7 in the morning. And do we have to live a life where it's always about what we have to do, or do we get some choice in what we choose for a job? Or there's that whole side of it too.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. I mean, that could be another whole conversation, right? Like the benefit to unschooling. But I think it does fit into what we're talking about today, like that rhythm and really spending time. Because I think some people, like, so if someone's, I would imagine a lot of people who are going to listen to this are already unschooling, but there might be some people who are just at the beginning, who are just curious about, okay, well, we homeschool, but how could we unschool? What does that look like? And where does the learning fit in? And I think this is a big part of it, is this, our days and our weeks are open so that we can be flexible to each live our days in a way that meets our needs. And guide, it's not really the word I'm looking for, but it's so interest-led. So I'm not setting up activities based on animals or Pokemon, because that's what my kids are into. I mean, every once in a while, maybe, but that's not what I mean when interest-led. It's that when you're interested in something, there's that internal motivation. And when you have the freedom to spend your day diving into that in whatever way you're interested in, there's that internal motivation to just go with it. And then within that, you learn all the things that work for you and what doesn't work for you. And I think it does, I don't know, like I hope when my kids grow up, if we're able to continue unschooling, that they do look for a job that works for them, you know, whatever profession or career that they are into. It's more so about what suits their personality, what suits their needs. So if they are like my one son has always been an early riser. So he would probably, if that continues, he'd probably have no problem with a job that my, like my husband has. He has some very early starts to his day. Or the flip, you know, maybe some people, there's night shifts, right? So there's so many different things about the careers, you know, that I remember thinking that, thinking like, well, I don't know what the actual career looks like on a day-to-day basis. And how do you decide that that's the route you want to go if you don't know if it would allow you to have days that you like? And I think unschooling really allows you to figure that out as you go. And it's a process and things change. But for the most part, I think, you know, you are who you are. And unschooling just gives you that freedom pretty much on a daily basis to learn more about yourself so that hopefully when you're an adult, you don't feel the pressure to do certain things a certain way, right? Oh, that's the way it is. And that's how everybody does it. So that's what I have to do. Because I don't think that necessarily leads to a lot of, I'm going to use the word happiness, but it's not really about that. It's just about, I think, finding a way to live in or outside of a system where you mostly get to be you, which I think is, you know, we can't all have all of our needs met every single day. But I think overall, if you feel like you can go out and live your day as yourself, that's what I hope for my kids.
Yeah, I think that learning about yourself is such an important part, isn't it? And that's one of the beauties of unschooling, is having that time to be able to experiment. You don't have to be out of the door every day to get to school at a certain time in the morning. And, you know, I have a teenage boy who does tend to a classic kind of sleep in. But, you know, he's an avid gamer and he plays with people from all around the world. And when there are time zone, you know, certain other people say to him, well, really, I'd like to play it, this time's better for me, you know, he will adapt to that. And he will, and if we're going on a day out all together, and, you know, and we say to him, you know, we want to, or we're going on holiday, say, and we need to leave at 6 in the morning or whatever, you know, he can do that. It's not that he can't do that. It's just that he's obviously got that flexibility at the moment, and it's just really nice that he can lay in. And but he is, yeah, like with my girls, how they've changed and maybe had periods of time where they've liked to lay in, and then now they're very much about, you know, trying to get things done so that they can do something else later. And it's just that opportunity to find out what works for you, and yeah, having that time and space to actually make those observations and get some greater understanding of how you can work with, you know, your own issues. We've all got our own issues, things we find harder or more difficult, haven't we? And that can change over time, but you have that time and space to work on those, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found it interesting, as my kids have gotten older, how when they're developing their own plans and their own schedule, how that seems to be driven by their own individual values. So it's been interesting to see that. And I think we were even talking a little bit about that. How do our values flow out into the way the rhythm of our days and our weeks end up? And so it's even just fun to look at them. So, you know, One of my kids who is just really, you know, really loves to work and be energized and very focused on, you know, making money and saving money and financial plans, you know, the rhythm of their day looks really different from another one who really values having enough time to listen to podcasts and, you know, do certain sports. And so there you see them kind of developing their days in alignment with their values. And certainly their values have changed over the years, but it's also kind of fun to look back and see some of those threads and be like, oh, this makes so much sense, right? You know, that the child that didn't really ever seem to need to sleep or nap can work a load of hours because he's just not that interested in sleeping, right? And it works because it works with what his goals are, but it wouldn't work for the other kids. So it's just, yeah. And even as far as, you know, a couple of my kids, I think really value, they all value family, but a couple in particular really value time with grandparents. And so my one son has really, it doesn't work every week, but he has tried to take work shifts so that he's available on a particular day to spend the day cooking and baking with his granny. So that's just been interesting to watch, that I didn't necessarily think that that would continue once he was working more, but it really has. It's enough of a value to him that if he can figure out how to work his work around that, he will. So that's just been kind of fun to watch too. Like, what do they value? And then how does that play out in the way that their weeks, the way that their weeks look? And then I think even in thinking about it from my perspective as a parent, something that came up for me, Ashley, still back to when you were talking about one-to-one time. And I was thinking how I really do value that. Like, I think I value it, and I think the kids have valued it. And so when our rhythm has changed over time, like I'm thinking prior to the pandemic, I was mentioning my daughter was quite busy in quite a few activities. And we had, as busy as she was, we also had quite a bit of car time. So that was time when we would connect. I had it with a couple of the boys as well. They went to a youth group out of town. And so we kind of had this relatively lengthy drive there and drive back. And we really got into a rhythm of that night of the week and certain music we would listen to and a certain maybe like supper that we would have that night that just all kind of worked together. And so when some of those touch points change, it's fine because, you know, those things need to happen, life shifts. But sometimes it's nice for me to just go, okay, so am I missing that they're part of this activity, or am I missing the routine that we had built in with that? And sometimes it's for myself. Like, I had a bit of a hard time shifting. I had my grocery schedule all worked in. You know, I would drop them off at sports. I'd get my groceries. I'd do a couple of work calls. And when that shifts, it's like, oh, it's only one activity that's changed. But actually, there's about 5 hours that have just changed, whether it's practical things or whether it's those opportunities for conversation. So yeah, it's just noticing that. And sometimes you can't fully rebuild it. Like, you know, we're not going to pretend to drive somewhere for the sake of it, especially with the price of gas right now. But it's kind of like just noticing, okay, that was a really regular opportunity that we had, A, to hang out, or B, to maybe chat about things that were on their mind. And some kids just chat better kind of side to side in a car. So I haven't even found that I can always recreate it, but it's just an awareness of it, right? It's just kind of like, that wasn't just a shift in activity, but there are other parts of that rhythm that got kind of maybe cut out a little bit as well, or entirely sometimes. So, yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed recently that we live in a very rural area, but we have two big cities near us. And over the years, it's kind of, it has changed. There have been times where we've done a lot of home ed activities in the city, and then times where we've done more stuff locally. And we are doing a lot more stuff locally at the moment, so there are shorter drives, which is good for the whole petrol prices and stuff. But what I have noticed recently is that often if there's only me and one other person in the car, we seem to be spending a lot of time outside the house. When we get back, we'll be in the middle of a conversation and then we'll carry it on. And particularly with my daughter, she will be talking about what we're going to do when we go back in the house, kind of in the car, which is really nice, because there is something special about talking in the car. I mean, we also do it, actually. I've noticed that with my son, actually, if we're washing and drying up, we'll often that's kind of that kind of conversation happens. It's that thing about not having eye contact, I suppose, isn't it? You're just focusing on something else and then the conversation just flows. But yeah, it's funny you say about the car, Erin, because that's something I've really noticed. And in fact, other people have said, oh, weren't you back, you know, 25 minutes ago? Well, yeah, we were, but we hadn't actually come in the house. Yeah.
Yeah, I think any of those side by side, like I'm thinking, whether it's going for a walk or gaming or the other thing that I think too is around, you know, watching a movie or a show together or reading a book where you have a common, I think some people communicate better that way too, right? So you have a common activity. So you're spending time together, but there's not pressure for conversation. So it's, yeah. So I would say, yeah, those are all the things I kind of look at, I think, when I think about the flow of our days. Is like every once in a while, I'll notice I'm feeling disconnected or something has shifted in the rhythm of the day. And it's looking at all those pieces. I'm always really interested, the whole idea of love languages. So I think about that a lot with my kids as well. So particularly one of my kids, I think their primary love language is quality time. And so it's just, I found that when I kind of read about that and figured that out, it really helped me prioritize that as far as wanting to put that into the day. And, but sometimes it works better again for that to be, it's quality time, but it's quality time doing something. It's not that they want to sit down and okay, let's have a conversation tonight. It's not like that. So it works much better to kind of flow that into an activity that's just happening naturally and is kind of fun. Or, you know, even a board game or just something where you're interacting that way. Yeah.
This makes me think, oh, sorry, Haley, go ahead.
No, you go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, it makes me so thankful that learning happens naturally, because I feel like as an unschooler, I don't spend my time planning or worrying about what we're going to learn, because that's just happening through all these things that we're doing. And when I've started recognizing that I was spending time thinking about these things, I thought I would just figure it out and then I wouldn't have to continue thinking about it. But I'm spending my time thinking about our needs and how we make sure those are being met in our days and in our weeks and in our months and in the different seasons, which is so interesting. It's all the things that we're talking about, looking, and it is sometimes like, obviously you live your days and the days go by and the weeks go by, however they do. But then fairly often for me anyway, still, I stop and I look, and it's not necessarily calendar. It could be. And I just think, okay, what do we need? What are we missing? And I think it's those things. When those things happen to shift, Erin, and you miss, like, there's like less points of connection and you didn't realize that you were going to lose that when that thing finished. So you think, okay, well, how do we get that back in? Okay, maybe we need to plan for a one-on-one date. Like I'm spending all, this is how I plan for it, is taking those times to look at our week ahead. Often that's how I do it, I think, is what does this week look like? And it's not, okay, we're learning about Greek mythology here and we're working on reading here. It's never that. It's okay, this child needs more attention. I haven't spent as much time with them, so I'm going to do that. And I think it's when you're meeting those needs, you know, that's when all that learning happens. I mean, the learning kind of happens anyway, but I find if everybody's feeling better and their needs are met, like they've got their time with their friends often enough. And I guess because mine are young too, I have to plan so much of that for them still. So I think as they get older and they, like kind of what you guys were talking about, they can start planning what their days look like more. I'll be there and I'll be involved, but it won't, maybe, because right now I'm guessing a lot of the time, right? I'm observing, I'm watching, I'm like, what? Okay, like they met friends this day, and I have one who needs to play with friends quite often, and another one who needs more time with me. And it's balancing that and trying to fit it all in and not stressing about it on a daily basis, but thinking about it on a weekly and a monthly basis. And we don't always get it right, but it's going back and reevaluating because things change too. So that's what I spend my time doing.
Yeah. I think it's that connection piece is so important, isn't it? And I know, thinking about this whole, how do your values impact on how you organize your days? And this, the whole weekly planning that we will often do, and thinking about what projects we want to finish, and you know, how many times we're going to go on a particular website or a particular course or something that they might be doing. So many times that changes because we do prioritize connection so much. If somebody says, hey, do you want to watch a movie together, or somebody they have all these worlds on Minecraft that they play together and in different in different groups, and so if somebody says, oh, you know, do you fancy playing Minecraft now, that will often come above anything else that they might have been planning to do, because those relationships are the thing, I guess, that are so important. And because we're obviously, as they've got older, they are dealing with more outside commitments, or they're not going to be here for a few days or a few weeks, it's, you know, it can be so important to just go with that flow. I guess that's why it's hard for me to think, what does a typical day look like? Because quite often those things will just happen, and we'll have this general plan, and then it will pivot because somebody has a great idea about how they're going to spend time with somebody else, and we'll go with that, which is lovely. Just being able to flow in whatever direction seems to fit the people's needs on the day, or how they want to spend their time. Yeah.
And this ends part one of the conversation, What Do Our Unschooling Days Look Like? We would love if you decide to click on over and listen to part two. It's a bit shorter and maybe even dives a bit deeper. If you decide not to but want to connect further, Haley can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. I, Erin, can be found at Everlearning, and Ashley can be found on Instagram at Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves. We'd be very grateful if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.